Hi, I'm Tim Robinson, and this is Take It From the TIM, and that's Tim. I appreciate you stopping by from my video today, and I want to share with you one of my income streams. How many of you know that we should have more than one income stream? Just wave your hands. Wave your hands like you just don't care. Hey, I have multiple income streams because it's important that we have multiple income streams. How many of you want to work for the rest of your life? Never be able to retire, just work from the time you're able to legally work up until the time you die? I don't know anyone like that. That's why I look for multiple income streams so I won't have to work all my life. And today I'm going to talk to you about an income stream that I found that is very lucrative and I enjoy immensely. And that's an organization by the name of Quicksilver. And I am a wealth ambassador for Quicksilver. And today we're going to talk about what is Quicksilver, what they do, and how it can be beneficial for you. How many of you know that with the stimulus and all the things that's going on in the economy and all the debt the United States is in, our dollar is truly, truly, truly getting hit? So it's time that you look at other vehicles to put your money in. Gold and silver, commodities, for example. I save in both gold and silver. And it's important that you know that you can save in gold and silver. Now, a lot of times when we talk about saving in a commodity such as gold and silver, people think that it's a lot of money to get involved. But with Quicksilver, you can get involved with as little as 1 ounce of silver per month and a monthly business fee of around $9.97. Awesome, isn't it? My website is isavesilver.com. That is isavesilver.com. Very easy to remember. Now, I am fortunate I was able to get my silver a couple of days ago. I opened it up, but I have not put it inside of a capsule, which is what we put our silver in to save. Now, they do have something called a challenge package, and that challenge package I'm going to be showing you today. Right now, I'm putting on my gloves, which are the gloves that you should use if you are a collector. These are my gloves to keep away smudges and fingerprints and the oils from your hands because these are uncirculated coins. Now, my coins came the other day in this envelope and it comes in this little package like this with the little seal on the back. You can see the little seal. See, it's all silvery. Ah, yeah. And in here, I have my newest coin, which is the South African Coogaran. And this is my newest coin, the South African Coogaran. Isn't it a beauty? Now, that's it. That's the front of the coin. And this is the back that shows you that it is a Coogaran and it's a 2021 current year coin. It has never been in circulation, so it is fresh off of the mint floor and ready to get into your hands. How about that? You like that? Now, like I said, you can get involved with this organization for as little as 1 silver ounce per month, plus a business acquisition fee of $9.97. Or you can get what is called our challenge package, which is originally $169. Right now, it is on special for $129. It comes in a black case, or it comes in this beautiful mahogany that your brother got here. You see that beautiful mahogany case? That's what you would get if you decide to take the challenge. Now, what is the challenge? The challenge is if you can save 16 ounces of silver in the first 90 days, you would actually hit the challenge. And the challenge gives us the ability to not only help ourselves, but also to help those in need. We actually Give Meals to Feed My Hungry Children, which is an organization that you can actually help feed those that are hungry. This right here is the 16 ounces of silver, which will be part of the challenge. And this is one tray that is inside of your package. And once you fill this tray within the 90-day period, you actually will have met the challenge. And not only are you helping yourself become a collector, not just a collector, but help yourself become a saver in silver, but you also be helping to feed hungry children all over the world. Now, that was my first tray, and that was my challenge, and I met the challenge, and I exceeded the challenge, and I also filled up my second tray. And as you see, there is a lot of unique coins that we have here. I actually especially like this blue coin, and it's actually silver. It's silver, it's a blue coin. We do have special offers from time to time. We do have a Friday Sizzle, which is a special coin that we actually allow you to actually to get at a nice discount. And a lot of the coins are a limited edition. So basically, you will have something that actually not only goes up in value as the cost and the price of silver go up, but also goes up in intrinsic value because of the limit and the limitations of the coin. This right here is a limited edition. This is a gold foil gold certificate, which is 100 milligrams of 24 karat gold. Not only did the organization offer silver, they also offer gold. So you could actually go in here and see about silver and gold. Makes me think of the song Silver and Gold. You have a gospel version and you got one from Santa Claus Coming to Town, or Rudolph, one of those old Christmas shows, Silver and Gold. Silver and gold. This is something that has been around since the beginning of time. So now there is no excuse for you saying that you cannot save in silver and you can save in gold. You can get involved with Quicksilver by going to isavesilver.com. When you get onto the site, there's a little 5.5 minute video. If you get onto the page, you would just go into isavesilver.com. You would come to this area right here. You would just click the button and it will show you a 5 minute video. If you see the video and you say, you know, I'm a person, when I see it, it makes sense to me, I just want to jump in and get it started, you hit this get started button, fill in the information, and you will be able to get started and start yourself on your way. If you need more information, you can go to this learn more information tab, and it tells you that there is a window of opportunity right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to get you in as soon as we can. Now, this has another little video that tells you about silver, and it tells you right now the current price of silver is around $34.97 per ounce of silver. Now, you have to realize the price of silver does go up and down. It depends on the market, supply and demand, and it depends on what is available. So some coins will be more and some coins will be less. Realize that we are dealing with 0.999 pure fine silver, or 0.9999 pure fine silver. So you are actually getting something of value. What I like about the organization is that I got involved with the organization. I told a few people, they got involved with the organization, they told a few people, and the next thing I looked, in less than a month, my silver has been free. So you look at the silver that I had, that silver, the majority of that silver was free. Now, if you don't call that residual income, I don't know what is residual income. This is one of the few things I've been in life that I can actually look at on a monthly basis and see that I have something that I have only had to do once, and I keep on duplicating over and over again. And this is a good way to set up for your family. You get involved now, and you get into the challenge package. Right now, you would get a 90% silver walking half dollar, $18 value. This is yours free when you come in with our challenge package. right here. This just shows some people that actually have met their challenge. Hey, 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 I think that's me. Let's look. No, that's not, but it sure enough looked like me. I'm on one of these pictures somewhere, but my challenge, I've made my challenge so long ago, I think that I'm probably down by now. But I actually know this young lady and a few other people here, but I was on this screen at one time. I think I might be down right now. But hey, you could be up here on our wall of fame. Sounds good. And it goes over the income programs. And I tell you, there is so much training material and things you can actually learn. Right now, we have given over 50,000 meals since inception in February of 2021, a little over a year ago, because we're in March of 2021. So we have given out over 50,000 meals and counting. So once you, if you want to find out some more information, I want you to go to isavesilver.com and I want you to go through the videos. And if you're ready, take the challenge. If you don't want to take the challenge, come in as a preferred customer. And if you go right here and get started, you will see that on your left-hand side is a wealth ambassador. And that's when you start and you're able to get the residual money. Hey, if you're going to buy it anyway, you're going to save it anyway, why not get paid some dollars for doing it? Makes sense to me. Makes sense to you, I hope. And if you just want to save periodically from time to time, you can become a preferred customer. Any way that you feel that it will work for you, whatever way to get in where you fit in. And actually, I would appreciate you actually just looking at the video and liking it and subscribing to my page. And I'm going to be sharing with you some more things that I am a part of that I think could actually be a part of your multiple income streams. This is Tim Robinson, and this has been Taken from the TIM, and that's Tim. Like the video, share the video, hit the notification bar so I can show you when I have more videos. Thanks a lot for joining me, and I hope that we become business partners. I'll see you in the next video. Bye-bye for now. Thanks for listening to Take It From the TIM, and that's Tim. I appreciate your patronage. I appreciate you coming back and listening to the episodes as I create them. Today, our topic is going to be my second job, which is working with an organization that is no longer around, but is very well remembered, especially in the Philadelphia area, because it's a flagship building that still stands. And that was the John Wanamaker Corporation. And John Wanamaker was a well-known department store all over the United States and maybe even abroad. I worked for John Wanamaker. It was my second job out of high school. I worked in the main area in Philadelphia that is now a Macy's building. It's at 13th and Market Street, or 12th and Market, 12th or 13th. I think 13th and Market in Philadelphia, right across from Philadelphia Historic City Hall. The John Wanamaker building in the city of Philadelphia is very well known because it has a major, huge eagle on the inside. It also has a archway of an organ that they play and show holiday shows in the Christmas season, and they have lights and displays, and it's really a nice experience. But I worked in that building back in 1984. My brothers and I all worked there at the same time, in this particular time that I am referring to. I worked down on the basement level in what they call the AMC, the Automatic Markdown Center. And my brother Frank works upstairs at one of the higher or the top floors in the cafeteria. And my oldest brother Stefan, he said he started in the mailroom, but I remember he was also doing, I believe, data entry or coding or something after that time in accounting. I worked in the AMC. And the AMC was the area that they had clothing and other items from the main floors that probably didn't sell, or maybe they had a overstock of them. They would put them down at the AMC in order to liquidate them and sell them quicker. And then the AMC was also unique because it did this color coding. And if you look on the wall
And based on the color that was on the ticket on the items, it would show how long the items had been in the AMC. And based on the colors, you would see what the discount amount was that the product would be taken off when you get to the register. So I worked in the AMC in the Automatic Markdown Center in John Wanamaker's. Now, during the time that I worked at John Wanamaker's, and in 1984, the minimum wage was $3.35. I always remember that number for some reason. And I think one of the reasons that I remembered it so well is because with $3.35, you were never going to get out of mama's house or mama and daddy's house. You were never going to leave your parents. You were never going to live alone. I don't even see what you would do with $3.35, even back in 1984. And I remember I would call home on Fridays. We got paid on a weekly basis. And I would call home on Friday and I would speak to my mother. And I would have a depression in my voice. And my mom would be like, "What's wrong?" And then she said, "Oh, wait, hold on. I understand it's Friday you got paid." Because I was always depressed on Friday because I wanted to get me my own place. And I'm like, I can't get nothing with $3.35. I didn't even make $100 a week after taxes and whatever was taken out of my check. It never was $100. It was always like $96, $97, $98. And I remember I wanted to find me a place so bad. And I started looking in South Philly. And I found some pretty cheap places back in that day. But it was not places that I would have felt comfortable living in. So I was like, I'm never going to get me a place. Never going to get a place. So I explored and I found out that you can make more money doing the same job if you left the city. So I went to a mall in Oxford Valley, and one of the companies that I worked for up there at that time was also John Wanamaker's, and the John Wanamaker's up there, I worked in the candy department. But my first job out of school, I mentioned in the last video, was the New Yorker, and my next job was John Wanamaker's in the Automated Markdown Center. And I learned skills such as making sure I got to work on time, making sure I learned how to follow a chain of command, making sure I understood how to get along with my supervisor and my colleagues, and actually build foundational things that have been great with me as life is going on. So sometimes you can look back at your life and you can think about a humble beginning that you started at, but you need to find the things that you really got from that experience. I did have a very good friend of many years that I met from Wanamaker's over the last 20 plus years. I think we lost touch with one another, but I do have fond memories of working for John Wanamaker's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I do remember the $3.35 an hour in the city of Philadelphia, which was the minimum wage at that time. So I want to share with you some of these things as we go on and I start telling you more and more about my employment. And like I said, I did work for John Wanamaker's on two occasions. Once was in the city of Philadelphia. That's when I started with. And then the next one was in the Oxford Valley Mall, which was in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. I did work from a company that merged with John Wanamaker's years later, which was called Hex, the Hex Company. And they had merged with John Wanamaker's. So they were part of the same family at that particular time. And I worked with them in Landover, Maryland. So we will talk about that a little bit more as time goes on. And I'll tell you a little bit of a funny story. When I worked for the Heck Company in Landover, Maryland, and I was at an interview, I was kind of lackadaisical, sitting back and really kind of nonchalant. And I was actually really surprised by something that happened. So I'm looking forward to share that with you as we go a little bit further. This is Tim Robinson, and this is Take It From Tim. Take It From the TIM. That's Tim. That's me. Thanks for listening to the audio. I want you to like and subscribe to the page so you know when new content is coming on. Tell your friends and family that Tim is on the air, and subscribe and support a brother. Come on now, you could do that. I really appreciate that. I will talk to you in the next episode. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Whatever time you may be hearing this podcast, this is Tim Robinson, and this is the Take It From the TIM, and that's Tim, and that's me. My subject today is my first paying job. And my first paying job out of high school. My first paying job out of high school was with a restaurant called The New Yorker. Now, back in the day when I graduated from high school and back in 1984, they had paid employment agencies. And these paid employment agencies, you would go in, they would tell you the types of jobs that they had available, and you would pay for the job. And in the time that I grew up in, the pay came directly from you and not the employer. I know that there are a lot of temporary agencies out there now that the employers pay for the jobs, and you work a certain amount of time, the employer pays for them to solicit and get them candidates. But during this particular time, when I was growing, they had an organization in Philadelphia called Arrow Employment. And I'm sure some of you listening to this podcast that are from the Philadelphia area may have heard of Arrow Employment Agency. It was in the downtown area of Philadelphia in Center City. And at the time, I went to Arrow Employment Agency and I applied for a job. My brother had gotten jobs from Arrow Employment Agency, and he told me about them, and I needed work, so I went to Arrow Employment Agency. Arrow Employment Agency sent me out to an employer. It was a company in Northeast Philadelphia called The New Yorker. The New Yorker was a restaurant, and I think they pretty much was a restaurant that sold all types of cuisine. I don't know if they, you know, were more into Italian food, or they just sold a variety of American dishes and some Italian food, but I believe it was more of American dishes. Now, you're looking at 36, 37 years ago, so I am relying on my memory to tell me a little bit about my experience with The New Yorker. Now, what I do call about The New Yorker, I remember it was like at Roosevelt Boulevard and Grant Avenue, I believe, thinking back. Now, when I worked for The New Yorker, started me as a dishwasher and a pot scrubber. I think that was the job that I was doing. Now, what I did notice is that I was working an 8-hour shift, and outside of a bathroom break, I wasn't getting any time away from the job. I would go to the bathroom, come back, wash my hands, get right back into the job. They would give me a meal, which I would eat while I was working. So they didn't give me any time off, any official time off for a meal or a break. After working for the company for several days, I contacted the Arrow Employment Agency. Let's say, for example, I started on Monday. By Wednesday, I got no break. I called Arrow Employment Agency and I asked the lady a question. And I was like, if I was to leave this job today, how much will I owe you? And she told me that I wouldn't owe them anything. So I said, I quit. And she's like, what's going on? And I told her. I said, I've been here for 3 days. And I said, I have not had a lunch break. And I have not had a break in particular. And I said, I'm pretty sure there are labor laws that says I'm supposed to get some type of break. But I think because I didn't say anything about it, the company, they didn't really care whether or not I got one or not. So I didn't get one. I went into the office after that particular conversation, and I told the manager that I was quitting, that I was quitting effective immediately. And he's like, oh, what's the problem? I said, I've been working here for 3 days. I said, you have never given me a break. I said, you didn't give me a lunch break. You gave me a standing lunch where you did give me something to eat, but I'm eating while I'm working. And you didn't give me a break, like, outside of the bathroom. I have never gotten a break. And the job decided to, I said, so what, how do I get paid? You're going to send me a paycheck at my home or what? So they just said, we're just going to cash you out and pay you. So they paid me the amount that they owed me based on the amount of hours that I have worked. And that was the end of my employment with The New Yorker. Now, this is one of the reasons and what I got out of this message that I'm sharing with you and what I'm trying to convey to you, especially young people, there are labor laws in place and they are there to protect you. They are there to make sure that the organization that is hiring you is actually following by the labor laws of your particular state. If you are working for an organization, you do get breaks. You do get a lunch hour. And I know sometimes when you're young, probably not this generation, but my generation, we didn't say a lot about a lot of things. We just kind of dealt with them and we complained to our family and friends and those that would listen, but not to the employer. And I know by being my first job, I didn't really say anything. And you know how far I've come from that. So if you're working a job and you feel that you are not being treated fairly, or you feel that you're not getting what you should be getting from the job, it's your right to speak up and let them know that you're not feeling the way that they're treating you. And it is the job's responsibility to do the right thing and make sure that you are taken care of in the way that you should be taken care of. This is Tim Robinson, and this has been Take It From Tim. This is TIM. And that's me. I hope you got something from the material that I shared. Remember, if you're working for an employer, there are certain rights that you have as an employee. And whether this is your first job or your 50th job, you need to speak up for yourself. Hope you got something from the message. Like the message. Share it with a family member or friend. Subscribe to receive new content when it is being released. And I would greatly appreciate that. Thanks a lot for spending this time with me. You gave me your greatest asset. Your time, and I do appreciate it. My very first job, well, what I considered a job, which means that I got a regular paycheck instead of delivering newspapers, which I was doing prior when I was in school. Now, this was still in school, but this was a job that I interviewed for, and I was selected, and it was a job working for the Boy Scouts of America for a summer youth program for a summer camp at a camp in Pipersville, Pennsylvania called Treasure Island. Now, prior to working for Treasure Island that particular year, I had had the experience of going to Treasure Island during the summer. I always liked camping. It was something about being in the outdoors that was very refreshing to me. It took me away from all the stress of the inner city. It got me around a very diverse group of people, children from all walks of life, all colors, all races, different ages, different life experiences that were so vast and different from my own. I always say that I learned the most I've learned in life from scouting. And in a later audio, I'll share some of what I've learned in scouting and how a lot of what I've learned has a lot to do with who I am as a man today. I interviewed for a job working for Treasure Island, and I was offered a position that particular year. And I don't know why I was offered a position in the commissary, but I will be real about it. At that time, it seems like people of color, that's all they put us was in the kitchen, working in the kitchen. Now, there was a couple other young men that didn't work in the commissary. There was one that worked in the Nature Lodge and another one that worked in another particular area of the camp, but majority of all the cook staff, the dishwashers, were black. I'm just being honest. Didn't really matter to me because I was glad to have a job. So I worked at the camp at Treasure Island Scout Reservation in the commissary. My first paycheck job, we got paid, I believe, every other week. And it was a lot of fun. One thing about working at a young age and working in scouting is that I was doing something that I enjoyed. And I'm not referring completely to the job because I was learning how to do the job, but I was working in an environment in which I enjoyed. Like I mentioned earlier, I enjoyed camping. And another good thing that happened is that I got an opportunity to also be put into other positions inside of the camp. Once I believe it was evident that I could do more, I was given more responsibility. I became one of the ceremonial teams in a ritual in scouting called the Order of the Arrow. I was one of the native tribesmen in that particular ceremony. Another thing I did is that I ran Sunday morning Vespers. Vespers is an ecumenical church service that was ran at a place called Goodman Stockade. And I would run the church service on Sunday mornings during the time that I was in scouting, working at the camp. The bad thing about that year was that I had a allergic reaction to saccharin. And when I had that allergic reaction to saccharin that year, I was actually taken off the island and I went to the hospital and I returned to the campground only for the week that my troop was actually coming to camp. And I spent most of my time with my troop. And when they went home, I went home with them and I did not return for the end of the season. You know, there's been a lot of changes in scouting. And I don't know a lot about the changes because I don't follow it like I used to. But I knew that scouting was something that was right for me. And I know that scouting actually gave me a foundation to become the man that I've become. I've learned leadership. I've learned discipline. I've learned so many things from scouting, survival. So it is important that we get young people involved in organizations like scouting. You know, childhood is so quick. It may not seem quick to a lot of the children that are going through it, but once you get through it, you'll look back a lot of times and you wish that you were still a child because of the responsibilities of life. And once you become an adult, you are an adult until you leave this earth. My first real paycheck job was working at Treasure Island Scout Reservation in Piperville, Pennsylvania. This is taken from Tim. And now we're talking about employment.